Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially the last thing that Jesus said in this text. O woman, great is your faith, be it done for you as you desire. There's a number of things to sort out in this, isn't there? Why is it that Jesus looks like he isn't willing at first? That's one. And then, what does it matter that it is a Canaanite woman that comes to him? Let's start with that one. It's a Canaanite woman. Do you remember what the Canaanites were and did in the Old Testament? They were the people that God said to the Israelites, go and take the land, take it from them, and this city, just wipe it out. Why? That's not very tolerant, is it? But then you go into the details and you find out what the Canaanites were doing for worship. They were doing child sacrifice. Their own children. The Canaanites would take their children and bring them to the temple. And this was not all of their children, otherwise there wouldn't have been any Canaanites. But they would sacrifice them. They would kill them as an offering to their gods. And you keep on looking deeper at this, and who were their gods? Baal, Moloch, Dagon, and number of others. You get to the New Testament, and basically the answer given who these things were, imposter gods. For us, that means there was demonic stuff behind all of that. And indeed, any time that you're talking about that type of worship, it is demonic, is it not? So an offering of a child to a demon. And now here's the woman coming to Jesus. She's a Canaanite woman. This is in her background. These horrible things in her background. Wait a minute. What is in our background? What is in our history? Go back generations and you will find enough generations back. We were not worshiping God. We were practicing some of these horrible things in our ancestry. What is in our background? What is in our lives? Now, Pastor, now you're stepping on toes here. You're going to tell the people that they're sinful. Yes, I am. Thought, word, deed. We've wandered off from God, have we not? We've worshipped other things, made other things most important in our lives. We've bowed down to those other things. Money, property, fame, reputation, friends, contemporary culture. We've bowed down to those. And there's a lesson here. In the words of my generation, what comes around goes around. Which means what you do comes back to you. And now here's a Canaanite woman, and there's something demonic happening. Should that be a surprise? Actually, no. Should it be a surprise in our lives when the things that we have put first come back on us? No. It's called justice. Ooh. Do we want justice? I mean, truthfully, do we want justice applied to our lives? And there's the confrontation, and there's the horrible truth that is under the surface. So the question, as the Canaanite woman comes to Jesus, the question being, who is acceptable in the presence of God is not something that stays back there a couple thousand years ago in that story. It's a question for our day, for everywhere in the world, for our lives, and constantly keeps coming back up. It is the question of the ages. It is the question of all of humanity. It's asked in different ways. With the Canaanite woman, it's asked as, how dare she? Around the world, it is asked as, so who is acceptable in the presence of God? Is it just the in-group among us? Is it those who have reformed their lives? Is it those who are doing acts of righteousness, enough acts of righteousness, that they dare to stand in the presence of God? And if you wonder, is that question asked in Scripture? Let me quote to you some of the Pharisees. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. And they were scandalized. Or, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this was. That's the Pharisees. But the question comes to us, phrased a little bit differently. How do I know? How do I find? Where do I meet a God who actually loves me? Martin Luther, that was his way of asking it. Where do I find God in His mercy? Where do I find God in His love, in His grace? Where do I find God where I'm not running up against His justice and where He thunders and threatens and condemns me? Where do I find God like that? Martin Luther had a great answer. And the answer was, why only in Jesus? He said it in terms of, only in this hairy God, this God who actually has hands and feet and hair and eyes and He has those things because He was born into this world. I find the mercy and the grace and the love of God. I find that in Bethlehem. There in the stable and in the manger. I find that when He's out in the wilderness and He's fasting and praying and battling against temptation. I find God in His mercy as He actually puts His hand on the sick and heals, welcomes the lepers, eats with the sinners. Well, actually, who else was He going to eat with? Okay? As He kneels in the Garden of Gethsemane and prays in agony, that is God now in the flesh. Because He can kneel and pray in agony. He can thirst. He can suffer. He can bleed and die. That's the only place where I'm going to find God with His mercy. Because apart from Him, all I get is, you shall and you shall not. Apart from Him, all I get is, these are the requirements, and unless you measure up to them, you are condemned. So the Canaanite woman, with all that background, with all that baggage, she dares to come to God? Why, yes, at that one place, the one place where it is safe for sinners to go, namely to the one who takes sinners and saves them and forgives them and makes them His own. Now, we don't know some of the details about the background of why she actually figured out that it was, go to Jesus. Go to Him and you'll find mercy. We don't know why or how she figured that out, but we do know that she came with faith. What does she say when she comes to him? Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. She recognizes him and knows who he is. Why? You're the only place where God comes to me in mercy. I have to come to you here. I can't come to you anywhere else. In the same way, you're the one place where God comes to me in mercy. I get to come to you there. I will not turn away. I will not go back. I will not accept a refusal. You are the mercy and the love of God. There's a show that I used to absolutely love watching. It's called Newhart. One of my favorite sitcoms. And part of the reason why is what the other actors and actresses said. And what they said was that the star of the show, he was always giving away the best lines. And he'd sit there and just sort of mildly react, but he gave them all the good lines. And they loved acting with him because it was that way. Well, this is what's going on with Jesus here. He could walk up to her and say, "Woman, you and I have business and I'm going to do something for you," but no. He prompts her. He nudges her. He hangs back. He lets her speak those words of faith and then speak them again. And then speak them again. And we don't know how often she was following around calling out. It must have been constant and going on for a while, because the disciples were irritated finally at it. But he prompts her and prompts her, and finally she says, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Okay, you can call me whatever you want. You can say whatever you want. All of these things about me being a sinner, me being separated from God, me being not acceptable in the presence of God, how I am and how my life has been, you can say all of that, and I won't argue it, but I know you. You are the mercy and the grace and the love of God. So I'm not turning away. And then he praises her faith, and her daughter is healed. It's an amazing thing to watch, because what he's done is he has now put her center stage, and her words of faith, well, they echo down through 2,000 years. We're still talking about her and what marvelous faith she had. And that's just plain sweet. But let me bring this home. Why is it that he can answer her prayer? Why is it that she can be sure of finding mercy and grace there at Jesus' feet and in his presence? He backs up his words with something that he would do. As he does healings, as he sets people free, it comes at a cost. There is nothing free, is there? A free lunch is a lunch that somebody else has paid for. He gives healings. He takes our suffering and illness on himself. He forgives sins. He takes our sins on himself. He frees us from death. How? By entering into death himself. He takes human beings from all over this planet who have been separated from God who do not know how to find their way back, and he brings them into the family of God. How? On the cross, by himself being separated and forsaken. He goes there. He has been there. And so he is the mercy and the grace and the love of God for every human being, no matter where they are. And that is as sweet as it can get, isn't it? In Jesus' name, amen. We rise. And now may the grace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. And we have a creed to confess together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.